Blessings of Light. This is the Blu-ray of Spiritual Dynamics. Let us pick up the class where it's at now.
During the week, isn't it? So far, doing meditation and visualizing the colors. This is to get a color association built up in the subconscious mind so that you have a foundation of reflection for your other powers, and that'll be coming on clairvoyance and higher energies and the higher consciousness. If you have nothing to reflect upon, it's going to go right through and you'll get nothing. You see, you'll be, oh yeah, I was aware of that, but I didn't quite retain that because it has nothing to tag on to. A like attracts a like. And if you have this consciousness in your subconscious mind, then you're going to draw more consciousness into the subconscious mind as you do your exercises and get more concentrated. You're taking and getting from this all view out here centered on particular areas of consciousness. Now we can look out here and we can see the whole room and we'll say, well, what do you see? And before you could describe something, you would have to fix on something in the room. You say, well, I see the room and now I see the clock and the clock is doing this, da, da, da. You would fix on something in the room. Well, seeing is seeing the whole room, everything is in the room. But you have to watch, mind may belittle the view. It may not let you express the whole view. You could talk about everything in this room. You could talk about the books of the room, the light of the room, the clocks, the papers, anything that's on the shelves, anything, the rug, the ceiling, the walls, anything you could express. But it would only be a partial expression of the whole. And so remember, the intellectual mind will only give you a partial expression of the whole, but the psychic energy, when it's open, this magnetic open, it gives you this awareness of the whole. See, all accepting heart gets all accepting energy, knows all. And so there are some people go around thinking they know it all, but that's not knowing they know it all, you see. Because there's a point where you can have access to knowledge, and an all-accepting heart then can reflect all-accepting love, all-accepting wisdom, all-accepted truth, the all-pervading omni-powers. And without the foundation of this energy in the subconscious mind, then we're not building the power. The other was to do the mantras, and the chants. I will persist till I succeed, I will persist till I succeed, I am a success, I am a success, I am a success, those kind of things. And Om or Hari, Christos, or one of the other mantras, or I'm one with the Father, I'm one with the Son, one with the Spirit, one with the One, some of the chants and mantras that we gave you. So the meditation, the mantras, the chants, the whirling heart meditation to expand that processing meditation. Now that's, first of all, you're doing a fundamental basic meditation going through the colors. But then when you start adapting it and using it at the heart center, you become an adapt. And you learn how to adapt this energy and consciousness. And instead of you have to conjure up something, you'll end up receiving rather than having to go out and make something happen. I was sharing with Salah last evening as I was meditating. I had this meditation come through. And it started out with a golden cross with an open chain. And it was above my head. And this open cross had an open chain saying that here's the cross, the golden cross, where sacrifice has already been made, and it's open to all things. You see, so the chain was not closed, it was an open chain. Below this was the crystal, and the crystal came through the head area and touched this cross. So there was several shapes of crystal there. There were round shapes of crystal, there were square shapes of crystal, and there was diamond-shaped crystals. And they were the crystalline light that came around the head area. Then as I was concentrating more, I saw coming down this arm was three sapphires, and at the end of these three sapphires, there was a Buddha, and this Buddha was sitting in a triangle, and he was a stone Buddha, and he was a Tibetan Buddha, and he was not a defined Buddha. He was just an image or shadow Buddha. He didn't have a face or that. It was just the image of a Buddha sitting in meditation in the triangle on this hand. Then down the other arm came three amethysts, and these were different shapes too. There was two large sapphires, one large sapphire and two small sapphires. Then there were two large amethysts and a small amethyst. And this hand was the Holy Spirit, and it was rising up on radiances with a heart, and so it was rising there. And then in the throat area, there was a beautiful pearl and a pile of violet leaves. It was at the throat. And then from the body here, over my body, was Buddha, and he was in meditation. His head came up into my heart, and his head had a flame out of the top of it. In his hand, he had the healing herb, and he had the teaching mudra of putting his hand downward on his knee in this respect. And his eyes were half open, half closed, where he was looking at the two worlds, the inner and the outer world in consciousness. And so he was in a meditation. It was a solid gold Buddha. And then coming off of this leg was turquoise, and the turquoise had a heart, a mountain, and the moon shape to it. And on this side was a marble shape, or a marble color oval stone that had orange and white, and below it was a darker orange stone that had little black specks in it. And then, as I was meditating there, off this side was a cloud of topaz in a golden hue. And off of that was a rainbow in the colors of this ring, in the shapes of this ring, right off to the side here. And then just below that was a master named Sayababa, and he was standing there. And as he was standing there, he was waving and smiling, and he was going like this. And his wave was a blessing. He was giving a blessing with his wave. And he was smiling, and he was accepting. Like, if you took a step towards him, it seemed like he'd take many steps towards you. And he was, and there was a light in front of him, and it said, Baba, which means the father, Baba. And then below this was a, right in front of him, was a large bottle open of Kush oil, which is a sacred oil that is used to awaken the third eye. And the top was off of it, and the lid was laying near this leg here. And then as I was concentrating, coming out of my stomach and down through my sexual organs and out was a path. And at the top of the path was a beautiful white opal. And below this was a ruby. And each one of these were getting larger. Then there was a moonstone. Then there was the black eye of Shiva, and or of Krishna, the four-star black star of India, the Krishna, the all-seeing eye. And then beyond that was an orange oval, and then there was a large moonstone, and then there was a large white orange stone on this path. And it was down the road, but it was the largest. And so these stones got bigger as they went away. And so I was just sitting there meditating and doing and all this came on in the aura. All this light came on. So I was asking for a message. And so that was my message. That was the answer to the question I had asked. I'd asked for powers for this area, to work in this area. And so this was the image they gave me. Now, a lot of times in the higher consciousness, you don't get words. You get principles, impressions, consciousness, abstract forms, light, energy. A lot of times you seem like it is moving towards you. Most of the time is you are moving towards it. Because everything is in a state of being, and life is moving through this state of being. You can imagine, like, we take a piece of paper, and when we look at the paper, it's flat. But if we take and crumble it up and then pull it out, it has all these wrinkles in it. Well, all these wrinkles and all these lines in it would be like the movement in this creation, this piece of paper. And as we look at it, our mind can follow the lines, but the paper itself doesn't move. But our mind and our eyes can go over the lines. Well, that's the way life is. The being is constantly being, but life is constantly moving in the being. And so the being is perceiving by the life movement. And in the higher abstract terms of consciousness, this is what you are doing. You're finding, as you're going deeper in your meditations, that these clear areas start getting more defined, and you see movements in them. You see that there are abstract symbols or forms or energies or impressions that come to you off of this inner field. And this is meaning you are reaching deep into the contemplative meditative state. Now, in the contemplative meditative state, you are moving from the heart center to the throat center. And each week, we've been moving a center. And so if you look at the classes you came to and what colors they were, you'll get to start being more aware about yourself, what your spectrum is, too. Where did you come in on the class? Where have you, you know, we're now at the blue ray. And we started back there clear. The first class, and the only one that was here on that first clear class was Michael. D. Michael Ring here. And Rain. I call him Rainy, but it's Rain, right? Rain? Okay. Michael. Anyway. And so Michael was the only one that has came to that first one. So then we went to the red, and then the orange, and the yellow, and the green, to the psychic powers last week. Now we come in and we've got the blue shirt on this week for the creative and higher abstract levels, the blue ray of energy. Now, the thing you have to do, once we start taking our first impressions, as we were instructed to last week, and began to develop our intuitional awarenesses, also our contemplative awarenesses began to deepen. So you'll find that a lot of times your first impression comes, but then the intellectual mind wants to start talking about it. And sometimes that is one movement in consciousness. It's not two separate movements. You know, but then immediately you start thinking about it and you lose the original point of knowing. It's the knowing that you want to get a hold of because it's the subtlest of the two. The thinking is grosser. The knowing is less gross, 7 times less in its impressional value than thought, thinking. So you have a difference between knowing. Now we're going to go 14 times less dense than gross thought to contemplation. And so we're getting subtler and subtler. So we're 14 impulses of vibration subtler than your thinking mind. Now, emotions are grosser than thoughts, and actions are grosser than emotions. So you have your actions, more subtle emotions, more subtle thoughts, more subtle knowledge, more subtle impression. And it's at this point of impression that you can begin to really get a clear spiritual guidance from higher fields. But remember, the language is a universal language. And it has to come through your open heart to reflect upon your thinking. Because the way you describe the impression may be different than someone else describes the impression because of your different educational backgrounds, maybe speaking different languages, speaking different dialects, inflections, knowing different words than other people speak, and different qualities of words, higher or lower qualities, good or bad, or positive or negative words, or whatever the case may be, long ones, intellectual ones, deep scientific ones, so on and so forth. You're going to speak in a language and describe the impression. So we all can get the same impression. We can all feel peace come over it. And then when we all describe peace, it depends on our reflective abilities in our own consciousness. What our words are, what our language is, what we've learned, and all of this is how we're going to be able to describe those impressions. So now we're doing a thing to put in another types of words, another place to reflect from. We do the chants. This is different reflective power than the just average everyday experience. And so as you concentrate, you're going to find you're going up the mountain. But notice what happens as you're going up the mountain. There gets less and less of the mountain, doesn't there? Until you get to the peak at the top, see? The mountain just doesn't go straight up. And I mean, it's one big... Mountains have peaks. We're not talking about plateaus. We're not talking about chaparrales. We're talking about climbing mountains, you see. So less and less people can relate to what you are doing as you're going up the mountain. You become more abstracted from mass consciousness. Now you can do one of two things. You can become extraordinary, or you can become weird and strange, you see. And what happens is, most of the mass consciousness will label you weird and strange. But you mustn't take the label of mass consciousness. You must realize that you are gaining extraordinary consciousness extraordinary powers. It's those that are outstanding that stand out, you see? And so you want to be outstanding so that you can get the whole picture. If you're in the forest, you're going to see the trees and you're going to see what's right around you. But pull back and stand on the mountain and look at the forest. You see all the trees, you see the pathways and everything, all the animals and everything that's going on in the forest. It's the difference in looking at the room and seeing the room, or looking at the clock and only seeing the clock in the room. I'm talking about a principle, and I'm just giving these descriptions because at this point of consciousness, at the higher abstract mind, words lack power to describe the fullness of the principle, because the principle has universal power. It can be applied many ways, in many ways. And so, began to realize that behind what you're doing, there is a principle. Behind going from color to color, there's a principle. That principle can also be described not only as the rainbow in going from color to color. We could say we're going from level to level, plane to plane, dimension to dimension. Another way of describing that principle is that we're going from the densest color to the finest color. We're going from the darkest to the lightest. We're going from the gross to the subtle. What happens is a switch will take place, and you'll know that you are getting into this higher field, because what was gross and is gross to the world will become subtle to you. And what is subtle to the world will become gross to you. The gross becomes subtle and the subtle becomes gross. There is a switch of polarity. There is a switch of point of view. Where you're responding from. What center is your consciousness in awareness of? Are you physically orientated, looking at the world? Emotionally orientated, looking at the world? Are you mentally orientated, looking at the world? Are you psychically orientated, looking at the world? Are you creatively orientated, looking at the world? Are you spiritually orientated, looking at the world? Are you spiritual in the universal sense, looking at the world? Are you cosmic conscious, looking at the world? Are you transcendent in the heavenly fields, looking at the world? Let's see. What level or what point of view you are at is going to qualify every other point of view. And so wherever your monopoly of attention is, that is either your ally or your foe. It's either serving you or you're serving it. Now, what you serve will serve you. If you serve negative thoughts, you will soon have negative thoughts serving you. And they will manifest to you. If you think I'm sick and tired, you will manifest sick and tired. If you are getting better and better every day in every way and giving your consciousness this affirmation, you will magnetize that. Now, the deeper you get in, the more subtle these gross things become, the more detached you become from them. Now the point is, we want to get to this higher abstract level of consciousness. And we want to take this exercise, which you did with the numbers, with the letters, with the colors, to continue doing the transference of colors, being aware of colors, and you might color 7 cards and put them down and do that exercise with those cards. The next thing you want to do is you want to take 5 cards and you want to put a circle on one, a triangle on one, a square on one, a rectangle on one, and a curvaceous line on the other. Curving lines, ones that are very curvaceous. These 5 impressional energies. Okay, from those 5 basic symbols, you have the structure of everything that's in this room. And you can put the squares, the circles, and all of that in the pictures, into the shapes of different things in this room. That is the principle to image. And it is a structure for image. And so we're taking this dynamics of consciousness a step deeper now. We're going to the abstract level. So get yourself some paper that you can't see through, as thick enough that you can, like a piece of cardboard, that you can mark on one side and you can lay it with face down and you can't see through the paper. And you want to make sure that these are all the same so that you don't start tricking yourself by the way the paper's cut, or if you made a little nick on this one or that one. you'll start recognizing the paper. You don't want to get involved with the paper. What you're looking at is the symbol. Now, it is a deepening of perception of your abilities, and you're starting to entrance. Open your heart. You're starting to entrance. Entrance. Now, entrancing energies will work this way. In your meditation, when you're seeking to meditate, you're still aware of some of the things that are going on in the room. But the deeper you get into it, the less you will be aware of the outer, and the more you become aware of the inner. You withdraw your energies and your consciousness from the outer field. One way to do this is to concentrate at the tip of your nose and take your attention up your nose to the center of your brow. Now, this is a simple exercise, but what that does, it pulls in your aura. It pulls in your auric field. And now you're starting to direct your energies to the brain, in the frontal lobes of the brain. And so we want to come out of the psychic areas and out of those other areas to these frontal lobes. But we have to pass through this area where peace, harmony, and truth are the guardians. Peace, harmony, truth. Now in this truth, you must begin, if you are not completely truthful to yourself, to be absolutely truthful to yourself. And it's most important, because what you want to perceive in the impressions you get, you want them to be orientated to truth. So you're actually starting to qualify the energies now that are coming to you. You want love and truth and wisdom, the purity, the perfection. Everything must come through these channels of conditioned attunement. You are conditioning your attunement. You're becoming deeper, more abstract. You're getting principle, then you describe. From the reflection of your knowledge and your vocabulary, you began to describe this to the individual. How it makes you feel, what actions you should take, what you should know, what you should say. All of this will come through the impression. At first, the impression will come clearer to the mind. We're going to go deeper than this. But now we're starting to get to this impressional field. So truth is essential here. Now, one attunement to truth is called rhythm and vibration. Rhythm and vibration. Now, rhythm and vibration brings you harmony. Things that are not the truth are always out of harmony and always out of rhythm. They don't fit in with the rhythm of what's going on. They're incongruous to the reality of what's going on truth side. So untruths are not in harmony, and they're not in reality, and they do not have rhythm. So when you're listening to someone talking to you, they'll go out of rhythm at that moment. But if you don't have an established rhythm pattern in your consciousness, then you will not see them go out of rhythm. You'll merge with them and go along with them. Next thing you know, and then you'll reflect later and say, oh, well, gee, I know that was something wrong there. But you want an open and direct energy. Now, every time I teach the psychic class, I have to use reflective abilities. And many years ago, I decided only to use direct energy and to see directly. And truth was one of the heaviest practices to get a direct perception. And every time I've done psychic energy, in about 40 classes now, something has happened to electrical things around me. Last week, when I went out and got in the car, the generator and the voltage regulator blew out. Now, that isn't the first time. That's about the sixth one that has gone. But I've had batteries go dead. I've had lights blow out. I've had fuses go out. I've had people's tape recorders blow up. All kinds of things happening. When I reverse that reflective ability, because it is against my nature as a mystic to work with psychic energy, because psychic energy is limited to the mystic's power. But to get to the mystic's power, you have to go through the element of truth in consciousness. And so that truth is very important to get the rhythm. So here I was using this reflective ability. I didn't reattune when I went out and got in my car. I don't know how many times this has happened. How many times has it happened since you've been with me? I don't know. Three times, anyway, since she's with me. Every time I teach that psychic class, something happens to the automobiles I'm driving. And it was happening over in Hawaii, when it first happened, I was wondering, what is happening here? You're going to find, when you're working with certain energies, they have a direct effect upon your environment. Psychic energies have a direct effect upon your environment, because that's environmental consciousness. At the abstract level of truth and rhythm, now you have a harmonious effect upon. We created certain illusions here last week of smell, bringing your attention to them by generating a psychic force at that vibration so that you could perceive these sweeter smells or denser smells and the things that we did here in the class, reading, so on and so forth, from psychic reflective power. That's not an open and direct field. So now it's reversing now that you go up to this next level. And if you notice, this is like a snake that crosses over itself. This energy is switching polarities. Every time you go to another center, every time you go to another level, the energies switch. Here, where you had to reach out and be active in the psychic energy, now you have to go to surrender to truth and reality and to your talents and creativities, the best that's in you. Now, this isn't a surrender to your negativeness. This isn't a surrender to your habit patterns. It isn't a surrender to your thoughts. It isn't a surrender to your old experiences. It isn't a surrender to those old experiences, because that will just lead you to the past. When you get clearer and more concentrated, as you get further up this mountain, you get more powerful. So things become more powerful in coming into being. And that's why the point of the filter of truth is very essential now to the next step, is to have this truth and to be absolutely truthful with everyone. Now, if you're in the world doing business, you're going to have troubles in that area, because most of the business world is polluted with untruths. And if you're going to get into politics, you're also going to be infected by untruths and non-realities. If you get into certain educational fields, you are also taking and getting into untruths. I mean, study history. Well, history was written by the winners. Not too much history is written by the losers. And so you don't have the whole picture, so you don't have the truth. You only have a point of view. See? Well, George Washington was a great hero. If he would have lost, he would have been a traitor and killed, you see. But see, he won, so he became a hero and the father of the country, right? But if it would have been the other way around, see, from England's point of view, they're looking at it and they're saying, gee, that he was a traitor to us. Now I'm going to show you how this works in your consciousness. What way is my hand going? Now let me stand up so you all can see. Is it going clockwise or counterclockwise? Okay, you're saying it's going counterclockwise. Then I'm not going to change it, but now which way is it going? You see, no, it isn't. It's still going counterclockwise, but you are just looking at it from a different point of view. That's what I'm talking about, this traitor or hero consciousness, is what point of view you are looking at it from. Are you looking at it from this side or that side? And you have to start looking at the truth. You have to get the whole truth. You have to get the whole truth. The hand is moving in a right hand motion. It's going counterclockwise and clockwise depending on your point of view. The same way if it was going in a left hand motion. But it's going clockwise or counterclockwise depending on your point of view. Well, this principle in truth is very important. Which is the truth? If you are at this point of view, you're going to try to defend one thing. If you're at the other point of view, you're trying to defend that. But if you're transcendent, you see it clearly. That means you have transcended it. But again, you must get to the truth, as above, so below. As above, so below. You need to raise that point of seeing to get the truth. You need to be at the point of truth to know. You need to know before you can describe. You need to be able to describe before you can have desire, and you need to have that desire clear before you can have action. You see? And any part of the chain that is not there, a link missing, you will take and not have the right polarity shifts, and you will not have a positive outcome in the outer world. And you may see the greatest things inside and have the rottenest things happen to you outside, because one of these levels is going in the wrong direction. And it's not in harmony with the other levels. So as you become more aware of this higher abstract consciousness, your heart becomes more open to your adaptation. And so the exercise of whirling heart, last week given, was to awaken the adaptability of your consciousness to go beyond yourself and to do a systematically opening of your aura to universal fields. So it's a systematic opening of your aura to fields. Well, the abstract principle is small circle, a little larger circle, a larger circle, larger circle, larger circle, larger circle. But these weren't just exactly circles, were they? They start out as circles, but then they went into sphere shape. As soon as we surrounded the world, we took these circles from around this room and around this city and around this country to spheric shape around this world, beyond this here, beyond all these stars and these planets. And you see these planets, this sun, this system, circle system, you see, a circling system. It's a pancake shape, but it's still weird. Putting the circle around it, all-encompassing, the golden circle in the center of our logos, and then out to the universe, you know, all-encompassing, circle in all directions, you see? This is a principle, and an abstract principle, that you're practicing, and it is a dynamics that builds upon these other fields. So step by step, we've been taking this exercise. Do the meditation. Reprogram your subconscious mind with positive affirmations, positive chanting, positive words. Give it a foundation to get reflection. Practice your mental powers. Be aware of your mind so you know what thoughts are yours, what are other thoughts, how to transfer thoughts, how to set up thought charges, those kind of things, how you walk into thought charges. You see? I walk in the office and I can see where she walks through my office there, through our classroom, I should say. So right there is a stream of thoughts and energy. I step into that, I can pick it up. But over here on the sides where she doesn't walk, her aura isn't open, it's still the same as I left it as I charged the room. You see? So I can go in and clear a room, and then whoever goes through that, they leave a light trace. I can start reading these light traces. And the impressions, the symbols, the forms, the colors, the vibrations. What are they in harmony or not harmonious? What level they are, because they come out of different chakras of her aura, you see? And so I begin to tell her these things that she goes through and what she does in there. See? Sometimes she cries, sometimes she's happy when I'm telling her these things. That the record is always there. You are giving at every moment energy outwardly. You're using up your life. Where is it going? You see? Now you have an eternal life, so you never run out of life. And so you can keep moving through life. See? Now how can you get this eternal life, not your life? Because if you just think of your life, you've got a limitation. You were born and you will die. And you will only experience what is between birth and death. Okay, I was born as an individual manifestation of God many, many eons of time ago. And from that point to this point, I have been in life. And so in this consciousness, I'm able to look from that point of original individualization to the present, and I'm reaching into the universal fields before I was individualized. But if you're only pulling upon what you did in this lifetime, then you're only caught up in the past, and you're only seeing that narrow point of view, and you're not seeing your complete life. You're only seeing, you're dwelling on certain things. And sometimes you only dwell on the bad things that happen to you. Do you really dwell on the happy things, the good things, the positive things that has gone on in your life? Most of the time, we dwell on the old negatives, you see. And every time you do that, you're not in the past, you're in the present giving life to what already has experienced again. You're re-reflecting it, you're creating it over again. And now comes the point of recreation. See, in peace we have recreation, ability to create again, to take something that may be in one substance and remold it. It's just like This principle I'm talking about is just like clay. It's just like a big glob of clay and we can, or big glob of plastic, and we can form it to any form we want to. You see? That's the principle. But then we may end up with a cup, a shape of a little goat like here, or a statue of Jesus and someone praying and he's healing them, you see, or a bottle, and we can shape this substance of consciousness. Now this shaping is called idea strata, and we began to get the idea of something by shaping this principle of consciousness. So creative principle has a factor of all possibility in it, until you began to qualify it with the idea. But your creative power is unlimited right now. You have boundless, infinite, unlimited creative ability right at this moment. But whatever you believe, you have already, that unlimited power must come through your belief. It must come through your belief. That's the structuring. It comes through your ideas. That's a structuring. Now, ideals is that which is ultimate realities of something. The ideal of marriage would be have a perfect relationship where you are perfectly harmonious in every level with your spouse. And that is an ideal. But on earth, as we live this reality, we must see that the ideal is not being lived. And in 99% of the cases, this ideal of the perfect relationship is not in application here upon this earth. So heaven is not coming to earth. You see, this is a heavenly field we're talking about, this creative power. It's not limited to the elemental powers of the earth. It's not limited to earth, water, fire, air, ether, or the substance here. And it's not limited to any limited form. Someone come in? Aha, someone did come in. Oh, all right. Doors open, you hear clicks, bangs, things like this when you start getting into these other fields. Okay. So as we take and get to this deeper entrancing level, truth, harmony, rhythm, vibration, this is the molding of this unlimited creative ability. It must have some form to come from. It must have something to reflect upon. It must have basic substance to work with. You see, all this is principle. So we've been clearing these fields one by one. Now this truth that we're talking about, being absolutely truthful to yourself, don't be self-deceptive. Don't say you're something you're not. If you're not the ideal, you may have the ideal in you, but you may not be living that ideal, that you must identify that. Because there's something between the ideal and the action that is perverting the energy. You're not a clear channel, you see. In order to be a clear channel, you must have all of your bodies in harmony one with another. You must be taking the actions that you desire by your will, knowledge, and belief. If your actions is doing one thing, your desire is doing another thing, and your will is doing another thing, and you know something else and you have another idea, you see, you're not in harmony. And a lot of people are not doing what they know to do. Many times, they know, and immediately the mind grabs it and wants to give you a bunch of alternatives and spread this knowing coming out. But you wouldn't have ever known that if you did not have the belief, the truth, or the pattern here at the throat to let it come through. We're talking about a channel that comes pure. But we're now clearing from the base up this energy. Because what this is where we've fallen. Wherever your point of view is, this fallen state, you want to raise it up now. Ye are perfect, whole, and all. Right now, you're perfect. Now, do you know what kind of fire that puts on all of your mistakes? Do you know what kind of fire that puts on all the times you blew it in the past when you say, I'm perfect? You see? That's the fire. But all of those things are not true because they are transitory and they are changing. That which is true is always constant. The truth is always the same, and it's not different for different people. There isn't my truth and your truth. There is only one truth. You see? And you'll hear a lot of people, when they get caught in that duality of past energies and the dark blue, they'll get my truth and my reality, and then your truth and your reality. But in God, there's only one. I mean, there's only one God. You can't say there's two gods. You see? And two masters or two forces. There's only one acting in two, three multiples of infinity. You see? And so you only have this one power. There's only one being. And in your consciousness, as a creator, individualized, you're a co-creator with all other co-creators. If you have no need, then your talent is not true. If there's no need, then you don't have a true talent. If you can create something, but if nobody needs it, it doesn't fit into reality. They can look at it and, oh, look at that silly thing. You see? There was a fellow the other night, he was on television, and he said he had an executive exerciser. And what it was, it was a cup on a board that you put your arm on, and it goes like this. You see? And so they were making a joke, right? The executive is supposed to be drinking a lot or something like this. Well, there's really no need for that, so everybody laughed at it and knew that it was a nonsensical thing. It was what we call a novelty, or, you know, something that it really doesn't have a true function. And a lot of people's ideas may be great, but if they don't have a function, a need to satisfy, if they're not of service, they'll never come through your heart and into your environment. You see? If they don't fulfill a service, the heart area has to fulfill service. So if your creative power that you're exercising doesn't fulfill a service, see, then it's erroneous. It's not in reality. It's transitory. See? It must have a necessity. It must fill necessity, need, purpose. Now some are so clever that they create the necessity. Most people think it's a necessity now to have an automobile. Probably most of the people in this room. Gee, if I didn't have an automobile, I wouldn't get out here so easy or there so easy. And all of this stuff is really a necessity. I've got to have it to go to work. I've got to have it to go to the store. I've got to have it to go here and there, you know. But, I mean, 100 years ago, what was the automobile? I mean, we had a wagon. And some people thought that was a necessity. Before that, man was on his feet, you see. And the necessity was walking. Now, we don't think that walking is such a necessity. Back in the 50s, I remember they were progressing. They says, by the year 2000, people will look like this. And they had great big heads, little skinny bodies, real skinny legs, because they would have all these portable sidewalks, they'd have all of these convenient things that they wouldn't have to walk and didn't have to work and all this. They were just taking the machinery and